Blog Talk Radio.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black, my stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro, pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it, to the kids who the hell cares, one less hungry mouth on the welfare. First trick them, don't let them deal a brother, give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said, two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids with their shanks. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Disgrace the racist, we under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, it's both tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real, time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but it's staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling to the kid,
I gotta get paid.
Hey, but that's the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime, I ain't have to do. But now back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell a guy that can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's town number two. You say it ain't cool. But it raised no fool. And as long as I stay black, I got a stage back. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right,
that's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Something will never change. All my life I had to fight, nigga. All my life I. Hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we-
right.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, need the room with the face down. Scheming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my crisis all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po. Wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal, I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero, thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico, digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog, my dog, that's all. Pick back and chat, I strap the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God. When you know, we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po. Wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
Nights in my prayers.
Ride it with me, I know feet. different things them happening, schemes and packaging. In a one night for shows I'm juggling, flow like the ocean, my boat I'm paddling. Shout out Shina fella, that's my bro, my family, bros in chains. When it comes to money I take concentrate, make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you become a shan, I'll be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment, I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want to know. Tell me, tell me, money come, what's it come, G-Wagon, all depends, stick your jump, ride the whip, I know be, die for nothing, money come. What's it gon' be? G-Wagon, all depends. They got it, ride with me. I know we die for nothing. Oh, no, I fall now.
on a sinking. Cause you never know when it's where you be standing when it's and too much from the what you gonna do when it's
and you ain't nothing without them. If you marry, show her you love her, put none before her. Yeah, we fuss and fight, but them my sisters and brothers. I got the game from my daddy, he taught me how to hustle. First time I ever served some time in jail was with my uncle. Damn, I was hot, the cops stayed on my bumper when I should have been at home getting ready for school in the morning. But I was always there, even though I was yawning, trying to sell the candy I sold at the store on the corner. Lost at my house again in a stolen car with my friends. Well, I end up in prison, my brother got killed. Then we both had kids when we was down serving bids. Still blessed to pick up a phone, call my mom and dad. To make a long story short, if it quacks, then it's a duck. Keep your mind out them streets and your head in them books. Come on with the hook.
Feels like what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like.
Scorpion bricks, way before Orbeez double disc, 40 on my lap, clap, sound like 40 did the mix, filtered bass, sip coat, like a Michelin star chef, chef, kiss to my wrist, I go dummy with my left, IRS on my dick, try to audit all my checks, too late, you know they hate when you become more than they expect, you let them crack or storm your capital, put their feet up on your desk, and yeah, you talking tough to me, I lost all my little respect, I'm selling weed, in the open, bringing folks, I'm from the feds, I know the payback gon' be mean, I'm saving all my little bread, pray for me y'all, one day I'ma have to pay for these thoughts, real niggas. Niggas is this thing, it ain't safe for me, my dog, they killing niggas in they own hood, that makes sense to you at all, you burnt your bridge to the other side, you know you can't swim across, y'all know niggas can't swim, they fried Mike after he died, y'all know niggas can't win, you never land, don't joke aside, I arrived on the day Fred Hampton got murdered, hold up, assassinated just to clarify further, what y'all gave birth is the chairman mixed with Jeff Ford, big step on the jet with my legs crossed, black stones on my neck, y'all can't kill Christ, black messiah is what I feel like. Shit ain't gon' stop cause y'all spill blood. We gon' turn up even more since y'all killed cubs.
And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like.
Thank you. Never on air, and we've been around long enough to understand and know that when those who are opposed to black people collectively start to gather, that some of us can become a lightning rod, whether as an individual or as a group, and that this thing in the counterintelligence program that was conducted by the FBI in the 60s against the Black Panther Party, J. Edgar Hoover, who was a director at the time, had put out a memo to the different station chiefs around the country, the different branches. And inside this memo, it talked about preventing the rise of a black messiah, one who can, electrify the people, especially the youth. And we see it as still relevant today, although they put together some sham investigation in the early 70s and tried to get us to believe that it was shut down, that it no longer was operative. But all forms of communication is media. Media has all forms of communication, whether by radio, talk show, magazine, newspaper, flyer, billboard, sign, book, or what have you. I mean, this is In Defense of the People Radio, strictly for the objective and goal and the stated purpose of politically educating our people, raising the country level of our people, and heightening the response to state terrorism. The state, what do we mean by the state? The politician, the businessman, the judge, the police, who work at a concerted effort, hand in glove, to keep the present structure intact, that it can keep perpetuating itself under the forest of democracy, under the cosmetics of the word democracy. When we wipe the slate clean, the cosmetics, we peel back the layers like peeling back the layers of an onion, we realize something contradictory. And as part of the program, the strategy, the tactic to keep the people in a comatose state or in a lobotomized state has been the use of religion. Now, some people may get it confused or even may come away with the wrong notion that one need not be a God-fearing or godly person or spiritual person and possess necessarily a religion by name. Having a religion simply expresses one's type of worship, one's type of gaining some type of knowledge that would lead one in the direction of righteousness, in the direction of becoming civil and staying civil and maintaining that civility through a particular type of religious belief. And as we know, if not all of us, the present stage is we are here in these times of different religions. The three chief religions that have been in a battle, so to speak, to a certain extent. The three dominant branches that have spread around the world, Christianity, Islam and what is now referred to as Judaism. It is mainly Christianity and Islam that has spread for the most part out of all of them, besides maybe Buddhism, which is a lesser known religion to those of us who have just been exposed to Christianity. Black people in general have been exposed to Christianity due to one's upbringing through his or her ancestral line, which leads back to physical slavery. And before that, many of us, or many of our ancestors, had actually been Muslims and had practiced the Islamic faith. The different factors of the control mechanism or the socialization process, economically, politically, socially, and whatnot. You know, we can say the church, and when people usually say that word or that term, they usually refer to the Catholic Church. And those who have been the controllers, the benefactors, of course, even the proprietors of what we know as the Bible. And again, as I said, that black people have been generally now been raised in the Black Baptist Church, which of course is bedrock is the Bible also. It's a form of teaching one through scriptures. I've learned to understand and say that there are two different Bibles. It's similar to a clip from a speech of Martin Luther King that I heard just a couple of days ago. When Martin Luther King, near the latter stages of his life, had begun to elevate his consciousness, and some take that as Martin Luther King had become revolutionary, which may be a bit of a stretch, but at the rate or the path down which he had started heading in his direction, more militancy, revolutionary, and it was something he said when he was talking about the American situation. He said that the rich practice socialism and they give the poor capitalism. And that is a very profound comment. And that is one of the comments that had led to his assassination. Some of us are well aware of his meeting with Malcolm X, and that the potential that came from that meeting to join forces, which some believe was the main reason why another speech they had given. But I just wanted to sort of give a idea of what I mean by two different Bibles. The Bible for the few, and the Bible for the masses. This was known as esoteric understanding, with the ES, and exoteric of understanding for the masses, with an EX. One's inner and one's outer. And it is no coincidence that you have EX at the beginning of the term, as such as you see in buildings that has exit signs over the doorways as a way out of the building, the outer. There's an inner and the outer. And this is what I mean by the two Bibles, so to speak. To my understanding, when a new president is sworn in, and I don't know if it's all of them, but I learned some time ago that this swearing-in ceremony, when they have the new selected president, raise one hand and place the other hand on the Bible, and some priest or whoever, you know, has him recite, repeat after him or what have you. To my understanding, I don't know, again, of all of these present, but the ones who I believe that may have been Masons, that they had used the Masonic Bible during that ritual ceremony of swearing in. And, of course, a number of presidents in the past have been Masons. George Bush Sr. double was a Mason, as well as his junior double son, George Dumbass Bush Jr. Devil, the rotten, dead and stinking George Washington, and a number of others who had forged the Constitution. We have learned to spell the word Constitution with a capital C, capital O, capital N, holding the shift button or pressing the lock button for the caps and release and all the rest of the letters in the term of small case letters, the Constitution. And they had understood certain types of knowledge, certain types of scriptures in a wholly, particularly different way from the rest of the masses. And, you know, we don't normally do this type of topic usually, but I figured we, as the religious factor is also part of the political equation in the power relationship, the master-slave power relationship that black people have with the state. And there are even some whites who have studied the scriptures and have unlocked some things and have discovered some things that have tried to write books, do perhaps even documentaries that explore the scriptures in a way much more deeper way, which would be the esoteric understanding of these scriptures. So we wanted to do a show on this particular thing. You know, spending years and years of studying, learning, observing, you know, digging in some instance painstakingly and trying to understand what a small handful of people understand from a certain perspective. And so I wanted to give some, examples or expose our listeners to some of these things. And if you want to, you know, question, comment, what have you, again, press that one on your phone and into the queue and we'll get you on. And we start with the very first scripture in the Bible as an example. Book of Genesis. And, of course, Genesis has its own etymological root. Some may look into the word Genesis and see the word gene, as in the genes that give you your particular physical structure, genetics, so to speak. The word religion itself, I'd become interested in the word religion itself is understanding, you know, how we all got our names by our parents. They had gotten those names from somewhere. They had to come from somewhere. And, of course, you know, these names have meanings that a lot of us really didn't get, exposed to. But showing our names that we have as individuals had to come from somewhere, the word religion had to, but the basic understanding is a word in the Latin language, which is supposed to be a member of these languages, a group of language that Europeans speak, so-called Indo-European languages. you know, which are a particular group, such as English, French, German, Spanish, Russian, Irish, and so forth. Sanskrit, which is spoken by the Hindu practicing people of the Central Asian country of India. And so the word religion seems to be traced back to a word that has a meaning, which means to tie back into. Re, of course, is the word for back, as in rewind the videotape, you know, or restart the movie, or restart the music, you know, and so forth. Restart the auto race, so forth. So to tie back into. And so it's very fitting that that word has a meaning as such. And so we want to tie back into, but in the sense of ancient understanding and knowledge that may not have been in general. We have different groups referred to as societies and whatnot, who are supposed to possess certain type of deeper knowledge, such as the Freemasons. And there are two schools of Freemasonry, and which is pretty much along racial lines. The Scottish Rite Freemasons is pretty much, you know, white men, and the Prince Hall Freemasons are pretty much, if not all, black men. Prince Hall had lived during the era of physical slavery, and due to the prejudices that black men had experienced, even within that, Freemason, which claims to be a brotherhood for the advancement of brotherly love as brothers. And even in those times, under those circumstances, these so-called white men who supposedly practiced brotherly love with their fellow brother, and they discriminated against the blacks. And so Prince Hall had started his own lodge. I believe at the time he had commissioned or had petitioned the Grand Lodge of England, or Great Britain, of Western Europe. And so that is how those two groups had come about. But these particular type of groups, and there are others too, you know, that supposedly, you know, possesses this esoteric knowledge and whatnot. But I just wanted to say that before I got started. So the very first word, the very first scripture in Genesis, which says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." It's very interesting. It's really something, man. You know, things can be right in front of our face, and they don't really register to us, you know. In English, those are 10 words that are chained together to form a sentence. You know, what is a predicate, you know, whatnot, subject, verb, adverb, preposition, all that kind of stuff, right? And so now the Old Testament is said to have been written in Hebrew and I think Aramaic, somewhere in there. But so when you take this first scripture, first verse, and place it back into a Hebrew tongue, in the Hebrew words, what you get is a total of 7 words. A total of 7 words. And that's not by coincidence that it happened, for a reason that the author of Genesis was let me say it like this. It would appear to me, you know, writing it in a sense of, here, you figure it out.
here, I'm going to leave you some jewels behind, some riddles, some assemblies and whatnot, some coded things, but you're going to have to figure that out on your own into the future. What is some new as speaking sublime language, which is a Masonic language or sublime language and whatnot, subtle language. And so the author of Genesis, who we are told was Moses, so that Moses authored the first five books of the Old Testament. And this is what the white people who refer to themselves as Jews called the Torah. And so these seven words had come about for a reason. And it is this first verse that pretty much would lay it out, how the Bible had gotten to be written in such a way that the average Joe and Joanne wouldn't have a clue unless they were taught in what would have back then would have been temples. This is where the whole thing about being initiated comes from. This is where the fraternities and the sororities get their foundation. This is where the word neophyte, and some of us who have joined or been become members of these different fraternities and sororities. And the neophyte is when the new incoming persons have to go through these different styles of display in public or whatnot. And they have what's called the neophyte. And neophyte is just one who is new to the game. And this is why you have the word neo. Some of you may remember the the Matrix movies, where the main character, his name is Neo. And the creators of the Matrix series had been aware of the type of knowledge as to what we want to go into. And so that is the new so-called kid on the block. And so these seven terms were for a reason. And there's an explanation for everything, a point of origin. And the question is, how did they get to the number seven? How did they choose the number seven? Or if Moses had been a real man and lived, how did Moses know how to pick and choose the number seven? And that number was based on a reason. And that reason, as hard as it may appear to be to some people, is found in the sky. In the sky at night, particular point of the year, which has been devised in the four seasons. And there's a particular group of stars that appears in these particular months at a particular time in space and time. And it was these seven stars that led to the foundation for all the things that you see as the number seven, as the 7 days of the week, and so forth. The Bible is rife with seven this, seven that, seven, 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 and so forth and so forth. And it was because of these particular stars. Now, these particular stars belong to a constellation. A constellation is an imaginative image in the sky. Our ancestors, the black people who had culminated the highest type of civilization known to humanity thus far, and what is now referred to as ancient Egypt. Egypt is a Greek word that had been siphoned from a word that the people in ancient Kemet, from their language that they had spoken, an African language. And this word had become a title, so to speak. And this was one of the names of God that the black people in Kemet had worshipped in signs and symbols. And as a physical man, a physical characterization on earth of what the greater was who had created himself. This is why they have the macrocosm and the microcosm. Senior and junior, as some brothers who have been blessed, who have had their queens give birth to boys, and they name them after them. And that is an example of what I'm talking about. So what had become in Kemet had developed in a time long before what you see now as the ancient remains and ruins, such as the pyramids, the awesome, incredible temples that were carved out of stone and out of the side of a mountain and so forth. And inside these temples, you see all these incredible portraits that were painted on the walls. And in one of these temples, there's a sort of, it's not a flat ceiling, but sort of one of the rounded ceilings. And in this ceiling, the artist had painted a image of the sky at a particular point in time. And they had used animals to portray these star groups that are now known as constellations. Stellation is the same as the word stellar, which is the same as the word star, constellation. And it was the particular stars that our ancestors in Kemet had mastered, or they had perfected after their ancestors had brought it down the Nile River from the south, which would be Central Africa. And this is where this particular type of knowledge had begun to take hold on them. And in that part of the continent, you can look at the sky and see the whole panoramic view. If you look northwards and if you look southwards, you can see what our ancestors had later developed as the northern sky and the southern sky. And as they moved up north, but down the Nile, certain particular type of stars had begun to captivate their minds. Those who had become the astronomers. Astronomers had become the builders, the architects of the Mayans. And they would do these particular type of rituals that the white man today does when he wants to build a new high-rise building, what they call the groundbreaking ceremony, where they get the developer who comes out in a suit and puts on a hard hat and is given a shovel, and he digs up the first piece of earth, which is where they begin to start laying the foundation for this new high-rise building, or even a church, a synagogue, or temple, what have you. And this particular spot had become known as the cornerstone. And if those of you who are churchgoers, and those of you who may be interested, may next time or take a look and see whether or not your church has a cornerstone. And there's a little plaque there that speaks about it. Well, this whole concept, this whole ritual had been done in Kemet for thousands of years ago, four thousands of years ago. And they had used a particular type of stars to do this ceremony called the stretching of the cord, or cord stretching ceremony, where the person who is now known as the Pharaoh would observe a particular group of stars and lay down his foundation, north, south, east, and west. And this was the clock in the sky, which also told time. And these stars are particularly the stars, seven in number. And these seven stars belong to what is referred to as the Great Bear. Ursa Major in the Latin, Greek terminology, languages. Ursa Major is the Great Bear. And there's Ursa Minor, which means the little bear. And at the tail of this bear, the tail end, and this imagery in the sky now, what we see today is a bear with a tail. And of course, we know bears don't have tails. And it's the tail part of this bear that is composed of the seven stars that in elementary school in certain generations, we were taught about the Great Bear. And there would be this sheet of paper with these numbers on it from 1 to 7. And you would have to connect the numbers together, connect the 1 to the 2, the 2 to the 3, and so forth. And before you know it, you have what's known as a Dipper. And that is how it got its name, the Big Dipper, because it was came off as the image of a scoop or a dipper. You know how you may have a dipper to get sugar out of the jar, the container, or what have you, right? Back in the day, it was Kool-Aid in the pack. You know, people would, you know, keep, you know, certain things in jars, and they would, you know, use a scoop to, you know, measure, such as, I believe, cakes and, you know, different things that had something to do with baking and whatnot. And so it is these seven stars that have struck the ancestors of the people who were in ancient Kemet. And there's this particular imagery that these stars were always visible above this sort of imaginary line that they referred to as off in the horizon. And they will appear to move and rotate like the hand on a clock. And so there's a saying among the Chinese people in the East that when the tail of the bear points north, it's winter time. When the tail of the bear points west, it is fall season. When the tail of the bear angles and points to the right or the east, it is spring. And when the tail of the bear points to the south, it is summertime. So that was the first mechanism by which to tell time. But these stars were always visible in the sky. Stars seemed to never end in their constant motion. They were always seen. And this is how it got its name, the never-ending stars, the imperishable stars. And our ancestors had recorded that name. And in the psychology of our ancestors, that is how they got around to this number seven having become some type of weight psychologically. And it is the Bible writer of Genesis who had learned, who had been instructed and taught the same psychology. And of course, there are those who, again, believe that the first five books of the Old Testament was written by Moses. And there's a scripture in the Bible where it speaks about, and Moses was learned in all the ways of Pharaoh, which means that the Pharaoh had been taught in the temples and had been receiving certain forms and types of knowledge that had something to do with astronomy, astrology, mathematics, physics, chemistry, geometry, and so forth, which is now taught in the universities, and even what now is known as philosophy. And so it was born that this number seven had become sacred. That is how the first scripture in the Bible had been placed strategically in the seven words, because the number seven represents the beginning. And these same seven stars had become so powerful in the psyche of our ancestors that it had become the nucleus of creation. And this is where Christians, and I like to refer to it as Hebraism, the Hebraic people, the Hebraic speaking people of ancient times. And let us get something straight, that the white people that you see today, whose leaders practicing genocide as we speak against the Palestinian people in Gaza, which is the world's largest open-air concentration camp. And those who refer to themselves as Jews, or those of the Jewish persuasion, are not the same people who existed in ancient times 4,000 years ago. If there had actually been a Hebrew people, an ancient people as the Hebrews and whatnot. And they had become the students of the masters in Kemet. And one of those, as the Bible says, is Moses. And this is how Moses had gotten this type of knowledge. And as I said, those who believe that Moses wrote Genesis. Now, where you have the word for God and heaven, this is where it gets interesting, very interesting, which may shock some of us. The word for God in that verse is a Hebrew word pronounced as Elohim. And to spell it as E, L, O, H, I, and an M. And when you want to pluralize Hebrew words, for instance, dog, to say dogs, and to say dog in Hebrew, you would have to include the letter M on the back of the term to pluralize the term. So the Muslims today, when they speak of God, the Muslims say Allah, which is spelled A-L-A-L-L-A-H. And the Arabic, Hebrew languages, Aramaic, are supposed to be a family of languages that is now referred to as the Semitic languages. And also included in those, in this family, is the languages that the people speak in Eastern Africa, in Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea area, was referred to as the Horn of Africa. And so the Ethiopians are a Semitic-speaking black people. And so the seven and the name for God is plural as Elohim, which means gods. And this is the term that is in the Hebrew scripture, where we see it in English as God. Now, there are those who would say that the word Elohim is his name on one end to try to explain the contradiction, to try to make up for the contradiction. But the singular name, as in the Arabic, is E-L-O-H, or Elohi with an I. That is the singular name for God. And so for some reason, the author of Genesis pluralized the word for God and what we know as God's plural. And we have to be very careful, because the Europeans have taken other people's history, their archives and records, and have given you their slant on what the people believed 6,000, 10,000 years ago. And this is no more, no less than the ploy on the part of the Catholic Church to, let's say, villainize the non-Christian groups of the world who practice their own particular brand of religion. This is why they are thus referred to as pagans, as idolatrous, practice idolatry, or was referred to as polytheism. Polytheism is basically a Greek word. Poly means more than one, and theism is the Greek word for God, which is similar to the word Deus, D-E-O-S and D-E-U-S. That was the word that the Greeks had used for God, singular. And so the question is, why did the Bible author of Genesis use the plural, the Elohim? And one may see the reason why in the scriptures when it talks about creating man, whose name is Adam. And so you have to explain why these are plural gods. And these plural gods are also seven. And this is why when it gets around to saying, creating the man, and this man's name is Adam. After it talks about all the different forms of creation, anatomical creatures, how the world had come into being from the dark, from the abyss, and the sun, moon, and stars, and what have you, and vegetation, the birds of the sky, creatures of the sky, creatures of the land, and the creatures of the water. And that on the seventh day, God had rested after his wonderful creation. Here's the number seven again. This is why some people, if not all, see the seventh day as a sacred day, referred to as the Sabbath. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word Sabbath for that day and the number seven have the same basic root, which means seven. And it is because of that that the Hebrew writer of Genesis placed this understanding in the scriptures. And so when they get around to man, after the settling or the establishment of the Garden of Eden, and then, you know, God forms, you know, Adam, and he brings Adam into life, and then he gives him the perfect helpmeet that become known as Eve. And there are some who understand that there's actually two versions of Genesis, two versions of the story. The Elohistic version and the Jehovistic version. And many of us are not aware of that. And this is why it would appear to have a contradiction in the Bible. And so at one point, it says, let us make man in our own image. So the question is, who is the us? Why is it a us if God has been the only entity or power in the world? And it is because of that that there's been a lot of confusion, debate, and arguing, in trying to explain what doesn't explain, or draw conclusions that don't conclude. It is because of the term Elohim that the seven forms of the one creative power, the seven manifestations, the seven attributes of the one and only creator God, which had been understood by our ancestors in Africa. And this is how it got to be Elohim. The Bible author of Genesis is instructed into this type of understanding. So much so that in the records that we know today as the hieroglyphics, some of us, you know, these incredible signs and symbols that have been carved in stone, in wood, and preserved on what is referred to as papyrus. What in the Hebrew preservation of archives or records is referred to as scroll. And in this papyrus, there's inscriptions, or in these hieroglyphic inscriptions, there's a part in there that refers to the seven divine beings who have been around since forever. And it was these seven divine beings who possessed this power to create. And that they had knew some type of recitation of words that the white man today referred to as magic. And this is demonstrated in the first chapter of the book of John, where it speaks about the word, and how the word was spoken, and things came into existence. Author of the book of John was also a student of ancient Kemetic knowledge. The New Testament was written in Greek. And so the word for the word, word, the Greek version for word is logos. And this is why you will hear these certain ones who speak in esoteric language and knowledge refer to that entity, that power that created, as the logos. The Greeks were also students of Timothy. In fact, they were perfect copiers of the ancient Kemetic knowledge that had been around for thousands of years. Now, these so-called white Egyptologists who want to tell us that the Egyptian civilization is 5,000 years old are basically full of shit. But you see, they have to minimize the age of ancient Kemet in order to be able to fit the white portion of humanity into the picture. These pyramids, these temples, and all of that knowledge that you that has been displayed on those monuments didn't just pop up 5,000 years ago. This is something that would have taken them a long time to accumulate, thousands of years to gather. What you see is the pyramids and the temples is just the culmination of this knowledge. And the one thing about the black people in Kemet, they were astronomical masters, or masters of astronomy. They mastered the sky. This is why we say that God is in the sky up above us, and that heaven is in the sky, and that the devil is in the ground, that hell is in the earth, is in the ground. This is why we believe that today. And so these seven divine beings are said to possess this power to create. That there were seven reflections, manifestations, or attributes of what is referred to as the One. For those of you who believe that the so-called ancient Egyptians were polytheists and they worshipped all these different gods, they worshipped one god, they worshipped a cow, and they worshipped a snake, they worshipped the hippopotamus, and so forth. They worshipped the lamb. It's simply propaganda to misguide you. The languages that they use in science and symbols are representations of these different nature powers, the different things in nature. And these animals represent certain aspects of power, of nature, in terms of creation, and the man and his partner and their humbleness, their humility, their humaneness. And this is where it derived from. Kemet had become the repository in physical material record of what their ancestors had learned thousands upon thousands of years ago before they even reached what is now referred to as Northeast Africa. And this is why the word Elohim is where you see the word God. Those who have become the proprietors of the Bible, the British people who had established themselves as an empire, the English-speaking people, King James. This is why it's referred to as the King James Version of the Bible. And when they had been in possession of these scriptures, they had to conceal some things. They had to try to hide these things away from the masses. There's a so-called ancient historian or writer whose name escapes me at present. But I do remember this, that he had addressed this problem that they were having as to why the author of Genesis used God, plural, Elohim. And they believed that it wasn't a mistake, as the present religious pundits will have us believe. And he had decided to explain the word Elohim. And he himself had said that these were God's associates. These were his helpers. These were his divine beings who helped them create. That in itself right there says it all. And they had copied that from ancient Kemet. Now, there are those of us who entertain who refer to as the Sumerians. And those who are familiar with the Sumerians, who are no more nor less than black people themselves, who had established themselves in what is theirs, Iraq. In the Hebrew Bible, referred to as Mesopotamia. And Mesopotamia is no more nor less than the word, a name, which means the land between the two rivers. As we say Mesoamerica, Middle America, as we use the word middle, in the midsection. Middle in English, mid in English, Meso in Spanish. And this is where they get the word Mesopotamia from. Now the Sumerians, who as the Bible itself says were the products or the offspring of Cushites. Cushites were the black people who had lived to the south of the black people in Kemet to the north of them. And the word Cush is a Hebrew copy of the word that exists in the ancient Kemetic language from which it derived. And these were the black people who were south of the black people who were north of them in Kemet. So the Sumerians had kept records that the Europeans now that they refer to as cuneiform. Let's get this straight. There's no cuneiform language. Cuneiform derived from what the white men who had been there had seen these symbols that were, sort of punched in or etched into these clay tablets. And they had a wedge-shaped kind of appeal. And this is where it got to become cuneiform, meaning wedge-shaped or wedge-shaped looking inscriptions. So there's no cuneiform language. It is the Sumerian language that the people who had been known as the Sumerians had recorded in this particular type of writing. Now, in this particular type of writing, there's a reference made to the Anunnaki. And these Anunnaki were these divine beings. And these divine beings were seven in number. And in the Sumerian scriptures, you see this reference to them over and over and over as seven of them. These are the ones who had been around in the beginning. This is the same psychology that you find in the ancient Kemet and the Elohim of the Bible. Now, for those of us who are Muslims, you will find these same Godheads in the Quran. When the writer, the author of the Quran, whom we are told, I believe was said to be Muhammad, or that the angel Gabriel had passed this knowledge to him. And that is how the Quran had become compiled. And it says, us and we have created the lights. We've not only created the lights, we've created seven heavens and we've created seven earths to go with them. And the Quran author was a student who had learned in Kemet where his knowledge had been possessed in the portion of the earth today we refer to as Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula. So you see the same number seven has been exported or transported in different parts of the ancient world with the basic root and understanding out of Kemet. This is how the number seven had begun to spread. And it had become so contagious that you find it in the Hindu holy books. There's these books referred to as the Puranas. which will remind some of us of this deadly fish called the piranhas that you may find in the Amazon in South America. In these holy books known as the piranhas, it speaks about the beginning, how things began. And there was these seven powerful entities, these seven powerful beings, and how they had coalesced together and created. Not only did they record that, but they also made reference to as to how they got to be the number seven. And this number seven clearly states that this constellation from which it derived were the seven stars of the Big Dipper. And each one of these stars had been given a particular name. And this is how these seven elemental powers come to be. And the area of the sky where the Big Dipper turns is said to be the center of the universe. And there is this imaginary pole that exists there whence every other star turns around. And atop this pole is a star. So therefore it became known as the pole star. And this pole star had became the first watcher, all-seeing eye from atop the pole. And it is said that God's throne is in heaven. And that when Jesus ascended, he sat on the right side of God's throne, did he not? The throne of God had become synonymous with the star because it was always seen. It never disappeared because it was at the center of the universe. And the center of the universe had become the nucleus of everything. This is why it says that God's throne is in heaven. The Japanese people, the Chinese people, they have what's called the mandate of heaven. And that the mandate of heaven was passed down to them, to their first ever ruler. And that if he didn't carry out the mandate of heaven, it would be hell to pay. And this is the same psychology that existed in Kemet, where the Pharaoh, if the people didn't eat, then when he went and stood before his master, his Lord, he would be in trouble. This is why in those inscriptions, he made sure that the people would eat. Because if they didn't, he would be in trouble. See, we don't know those kinds of things. We're not given that kind of knowledge at all, period. And so the Japanese, the Chinese, they practice what's referred to as the Tao, or the Tao, T-A-O-D-A-O. And in language, the D and the T is pretty much related. These are letters, which in the hieroglyphics are the equivalent of signs. And the equivalent for the letter D, as we see, is the hand in profile view, meaning sideways, where it looks like a hand holding out, getting ready to receive something in its palm. That is the letter D. And this letter D, obviously for the hand, from which is where they get the word digit from. Each finger is called a digit in science. And so this letter D had been used to spell this name. And this name was another name for God in ancient Kemet. This is God as the physical creator of the world. The fashioner, the molder, the maker, the shaper, and owner of it all. The Greeks took this name, and of course they were always in the habit of corrupting them, maybe due to speech patterns, such as the Spanish-speaking people. If you try to get a Spanish-speaking person to say Victoria, that C somehow just keeps eluding them when trying to say Victoria. And so they wind up saying Victoria. This is why you see where in English is spelled V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, Victoria. Whereas you find in Spanish it's V-I-T-T-O-R-I-A, because they have a problem trying to say the C. Just as you tried to say the word eight. The word eight has a G in it, and this G is silent. When you say Gnostic, and if I were to tell some average lay person or novice to spell the word Gnostic for $1,000, by the way that I'm saying it, they would think that it would start with an N because of its sound. But the G is silent. The first letter is a G. And the Gnostics were a group of people who were sort of a threat to the church a couple of thousand years ago, because they had come out of timid with the ancient knowledge. And this is what threatened the church, the Catholic Church. And so this name that the Greeks had used, we know it's T-H-O-T-H. And this was called the Book of Thoth. And this Book of Thoth speaks about this creation and how the world, the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars have come about. And you find the same number seven placenta of it, this creation, and the seven divine beings. Thoth represented God as the fashioner, as the one who has the knowledge, the one who possessed the words of power, and things would magically appear. I have this Bible here. I can reel off, you know, this stuff off the top of my head. But specificity, you go to John in this Bible, as a matter of fact, that I have here.
It has it says the King James Version,
and it's in a split page each chapter, and it has King James Version, and then it says Amplified Bible right next to that. So if you turn to John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. See? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This name that they had been begin the letter D with the letter D, the hieroglyphic sign for the D, is something like the Houthi. And these modern Egyptologists have want us to believe that this sign, in another way, is another sign. And they want us to believe that this sign is the equivalent of DJ, a double consonant. But his name was the Houthi. And this was God as the one who the author of John speaks about. And that may seem incredibly hard or difficult for some of us to believe. But I would say, I can't make this shit up. And you don't necessarily have to take my word for it. If you can do the same thing that I did, wanting to search and seek. The Bible says that seek and ye shall find. And also, for this year perish for the lack of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And the Houdi was the word. The Houdi was the Logos. This is why the Greeks had copied the Houdi in the name of Thoth. And that the Greeks had went further and also referred to him as Hermes Trismegistus. Trismegistus is a word that simply means three times great. And in the hieroglyphic inscriptions where it speaks about the Godhead, the Houdi, it refers to him as three times great. In some instances, he's more than three times great. And this is how they copied. And so that was referred to as Hermetic science, Hermetic philosophy. And this Hermetic philosophy is no more, no less than what the Greeks had copied out of Kemet, represented by the Godhead, the Houdi, because he also represented God as the wise one, as the giver of wisdom. That the Houdi had been the creator of the arts and sciences. He invented the letter, you know, the alphabet, the number system. He understood philosophy, chemistry, and all the different arts and sciences that people go to the universities around the world and study. And that's referred to as the seven liberal arts. And these seven liberal arts have been taught in Kemet long before any Greek could ever set foot on the planet. And one of these was geometry. It is said that the G in the Masonic logo, it represents geometry or even God or some word that represents hidden knowledge, which referred to as the gnosis. Now, we can spell the word know like I know you, and it begins with the K. But this gnosis that I'm referring to is G-N-O-S-I-S, the gnosis. This is the higher or deeper level of knowledge of understanding of which example I'm giving tonight. And so the Houdi, in one sense, is associated with these seven divine beings. And he was like their director. This is what the scripture means when it says, and God created man in his own image, and let us make man in our own image, which will explain what to the novice would be an apparent contradiction. And that there will be those who would argue against the Bible, you know, attack it due to what appears to be contradictions. But there's referred to as three systems, three theological systems that the Bible was composed of. And at times, two of them may interweave with one another. What would appear to be the contradiction. As I said about the constellations, and the word stellar is the word for star. And so that's the stellar theology based on the stars and what the stars symbolically represented. This is the oldest known theology known to humanity, known to the original people on the earth, because they were here first and they were the ones who started it all. and that their descendants for several hundred thousands of years later became known as the Egyptians, just simply to record it. Just simply record it. They put it into record. Some other nations just kept it in a verbal knowledge that was passed down. And so, you know, when the white man goes and finds some ancient ruins and buildings and whatnot, he starts to look for whether or not they had any form of writing or system, or, and he bases his civilization off, they had written records. Oh, that's civilization. And that is the Western concept. That is a Western thought. That is a Western psyche. That is a Western material design, as opposed to what civilization actually really is. Because there are some monuments, as we're told, that the Sumerians had the Sumerians invented writing. They were the first civilization in the world, and that's a lie. There's monuments several thousand years older than what they found in Iraq that would represent the Sumerians. Anciently, it's known as Babylonia. The Bible has a name of Babylon, where persons who follow the scriptures and understand the story of the Tower of Babel, the confusion of the tongues. But in the place referred to now as Turkey, the country of Turkey, which is supposed to be in Northwest Asia, referred to as Asia Minor, another name known as Anatolia. And they have found these buildings that are 10,000 years old. And they just, they were buildings, and that's it. So they have a criteria of what you have to possess in order to be a civilization. But the last time I checked, the first five letters in the word is civilization, the C-I-V-I-L, which has nothing to do with building. It has something to do with being civil towards your fellow human being in that part of the world in which you lived. The knowledge to build these exquisite monuments and temples and whatnot is just the icing on the cake, because the ancients had gotten around to what is referred to now as technology. They went through trial and error. And this is how they were able to build a physical world, a material world. But that this knowledge is said to be derived from a higher power who had seven forms of himself. There's another group in this number seven. And we may have to do a part two, part three, part 30 and 40, I'm just playing. But let me see what kind of time we're looking at. We got a few minutes. So we're in a rush. I speak with some of my comrades, my friends, and I tell them, the first verse of Genesis alone is a book. I mean, you can write a book on it, a small book. It runs that deep, you know. But there's another seven, these seven creators. Another version of them. Now, these seven creators, get this, appear to have been what the white man referred to as pygmies, the short people that exist in pockets of the world, the short black people, the indigenous people on the earth who populated, you know, these regions before the taller people. And so the white man called them pygmies, the pygmy. And you could go to Central Africa Central African Republic or Congo, what have you, and see these so-called pygmies, these short people. And it is the so-called pygmies whom the ancient Egyptians had seen as their ancestors. And so in one version, in the most so-called primitive form, God was a pygmy in the image of this man, the short man. And there's these legends of the pygmy that the taller people tell, that the ancestors were pygmies. And so in Kemet, they preserved this knowledge in another name for God, who would be pronounced something like Kenum or Kenal or the Kenamu. And there were seven forms of Kenamu, Kenum, seven short so-called people. And this is the earliest representation in physical form as imagery of the Creator. And they were the makers. They was his associates. And this is what this word means. And you would spell it something like K-H-N-M-U. And of course in Kemet, or W, in the Kemetic language, to pluralize a word or name in the ancient Kemetic language, you have to put a W on the end, as opposed to an M. Let's see, I can, we can go into this. We'll come back, but these ending letters that pluralize words and names in Hebrew and in ancient Kemet, there's a relation there. There's a hidden relation. It is a sublime relation there, and we're going to, you know, cover that. But so far, we understand and know how it got to be Elohim, and that the pundits today who want to be the lead scholars in the Bible, whatever, at the theological seminary or what, a theological college, will try to explain that. Well, so, well, it was just a mistake. You know, that's just the way he wrote God's name, which is bullshit. And we've demonstrated that these seven divine beings have been with the ancient people in the different ancient holy books, you know? And it gets more interesting. It gets more interesting. These pygmies represent the oldest types. And that in their creation stories, they have a name for this Creator. And it just so happened to be that in the so-called pygmy language, the name that you would see in the ancient Kemetic language are one and the same. Pronunciation and even the formation of the letters that you would understand someone who knows the so-called language of the pygmies, and they can put words into letters, into, you know, like writing a sentence in their language, you know. And that is what you will find, which shows that the people of Kemet, who became the Egyptians, it tells you where they originated from. They come from Central Africa, and that they had started accumulating knowledge, their ancestors, and they had brought that knowledge down the river with them. This is why these Egyptologists, when they start digging and they draw this conclusion, start writing all these books and whatnot, and they would draw the conclusion that the ancient Egyptian civilization just came ready-made. It's like it doesn't have a beginning. It's like it hit the ground running, you know? It just came ready-made. The reason why it came ready-made, because it was full, because they, it was, you know, getting to be full-fledged. which means that they had started somewhere else before they had gotten to that stage. And that is your proof right there to show that the ancient Egyptians had come from Central Africa. They didn't come from Asia. They didn't cross over the Arabian Peninsula or whatnot, like these stories that they make up to make you think the Egyptians were whites that come from Asia. No such thing. But it's an ongoing battle, you know, in the academic world. So we're going to stop right here. We're going to pick up next week. I hope I've, you know, made sense gotten through or, you know, didn't go over anybody's head, you know, because sometimes it's, it may not be necessarily as easy in terms of words and terminology and stuff like that, but I hope I was able to get through, like, just basic understanding, you know. And so we'll see you. We'll be back next week, same time, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, in Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by the People's Political Party. I'm one of your hosts, Chairman Nat Turner, and my co-host, Brother Motherland, our National Minister of Defense, and our engineer, our assault technician on the ones, two, Sister Amado Shue, on our National Minister of Communication. And we say Black Power to Black People specifically, and all power to the people. And your hobo, we out of here.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come.